Thank you, Chair. I myself would also like to extend a warm welcome to the delegation. A delegation that just a moment ago submitted a very useful document to us, including the National Action Plan to Combat Torture and Ill Treatment. I am familiar with it, and it did raise a question I have for you. I think it's quite thorough, well done, but it is missing one point that I think is nonetheless crucial. Where is the attorney? Where are the attorneys in your National Action Plan? It could be on prevention or repression or reparation. Lawyers, attorneys, and we see it in various reviews and in observed practice, lawyers play a key role. They represent victims, and as such, they can allow victims to act, to obtain redress. And very often, too, in many situations, they prevent ill treatment from being perpetrated on people that are deprived of liberty. Whether it's in the section of prevention of the document or under legal assistance or the next one on investigations, I don't see lawyers there at all. And according to information that I have available, there's a great number of attorneys in Egypt. I read a document and, it was mentioned perhaps during the last UPR when there was a statement that spoke of 7,000 attorneys? 700,000 attorneys. I haven't found a more up-to-date figure, but I did hear that one. So there are many, many attorneys, and they must play a role. So with that in mind, and in light of the many things you mentioned in the report that address the presence of an attorney, and especially the right to be counseled by an attorney, there are many questions that come up and that are linked to other questions that have been made about the lack of these attorneys within the plan of action. The first question is that, in the Constitution, Articles 54 and 98, there is the right to be assisted by an attorney, and also the right to have legal assistance if the person does not have the means themselves to compensate for the services rendered. There are legal guarantees present. They exist. But there are several sources of information that speak of a limited practice in the area. In other words, the concept is there in writing, but the right to an attorney in practice is not provided in many cases. And especially when there's an allegation of acts of torture on an individual. So there is a recognition of this right, but there is no implementation and enjoyment of that right. And we have seen that several statements mention a lack of an attorney in specific proceedings, and especially before military courts. And that gives rise to other questions. Have you been informed of these cases before military authorities without an attorney? Any actions taken by the prosecutor's office in order to bridge these gaps? And also, do you have any mechanisms that would allow any and all people deprived of the liberty to, because this is in the writing, to be able to have access to an attorney right away so that they can be interviewed with the presence of an attorney? Given that it is in the writing that someone can go before a judge of first instance and the case cannot be started unless the person is represented by an attorney. So specifically, what are the mechanisms that would allow someone who is deprived of their liberty to benefit from the assistance of an attorney? And the last question that I have on this issue on attorneys relate to allegations of repression on several lawyers, especially two cases that are a matter of concern for us under the convention. The first one is when the lawyers are representing people that have been victims of violence at the hands of the police or military authorities. And we have seen that there could be some pressure exerted on attorneys representing them in these cases. And then also attorneys that, aside from their professional law practice, they have political affiliations. And here we have seen heard statements and accounts of facts of people that have been targeted with repression and persecution. These were lawyers who also have a political life.